Good morning, everyone.
Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this glorious day. Thank you that as we sit here, right here and right now, you are here. We invite your Holy Spirit to come and minister to our hearts and our minds. Challenge us, Lord, and by your grace, give us the courage, the boldness, and the humility to respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's great to see you all here this morning on this beautiful day. Now, if you're, I'm going to put you to work a wee bit this morning. It would be good if you have one of our pew Bibles in front of you, or you can share with someone else, because I'm going to track you through this sermon and some of the key points in it. And it would be good if you could just zero in on some of these amazing lines in these two bits of scripture that Basil has just read for you. But first, two questions for you to mull over as we go along. What are you prepared to do for God? What are you prepared to do for God? And the second, are you a stiff-necked Christian? Are you a stiff-necked Christian? That doesn't mean, do you have a sore neck right now? As I'm sure some of the guys who were at the go-karting on Friday night, maybe they have a stiff neck from peering around to see who was about to pass them, or in some cases, drive into the back of you deliberately. But we're not mentioning any name for what happened at the go-kart track. Stays at the go-kart track. All right? Are you a stiff-necked Christian? All right? What are you prepared to do for God, and are you a stiff-necked Christian? This is a fantastic passage about a guy called Stephen. A very ordinary guy. An incredibly ordinary guy thrust into service for Jesus Christ by the church of the day. Thrust into service for Jesus Christ. And I was thinking about all the jobs that are done in a church. I think about all the jobs that are done around the world. And I Googled it. What is the most important job in the world? All right? I Googled it. I thought, you know, because you can ask Google anything. So what is the most important job in the world? And as you can imagine, there are many different answers to that. But there was an interesting piece of video, which I'll show you now. Hopefully we have it, which was conducted by a UK business magazine with children in the United States. And they asked these school kids, what is the most important job in the world? And you'll see this now, hopefully. Can you run the video? Yeah.
Because kids, they can just live on their own in like 5 minutes. They can
Well, every single job is important. Because, say, they're from janitors. Well, this world wouldn't be clean.
Quite insightful. I particularly like the one that we needed presidents and laws, because without a president and laws, everyone would go crazy and do their own thing. Okay. Okay. Very good. So, here we have Stephen. And Stephen gets a job. And Stephen's job comes about because this church is growing and it needs things done. And a row ensues between the Hellenistic women and widows and the Hebrew women and widows. And the Greeks aren't getting as much food as the Jewish women, the Hebrew women. And so they go to Peter. And they sit down with Peter and they gurn their lamps out about the amount of food they're getting or they're not getting. And to paraphrase Peter says, look, what do you think we are, waiters? Go and pick someone. Go and pick a group of people that are godly men. Go and choose godly men to serve you in this way. And so they light upon Stephen. And if you look at Scripture now in verse 5 of chapter 6, and what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. A man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Hold on to that phrase. So Stephen was qualified as a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. He didn't have to go to school and get his A-levels. He didn't have to do anything else. He had been divinely given to them. They had heard what Peter had said. They understood that Peter and the guys needed to keep preaching the word, but they needed someone to do this job of distribution. And so they found Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest privileges that I've ever had to experience was I got to follow as a reporter of the British Army around the world quite a bit. And just prior to the first Gulf War, I went out to Saudi Arabia with a couple of Irish regiments to see what they were doing. It was about three, four weeks before it all properly kicked off, though there had been some fighting just prior to me going out. We'd only been married a month, so it was a really good time for me to get a break and head out to Saudi Arabia, and wild horses wouldn't have stopped me. All right, I was 27 at the time, and this was the most exciting thing. But I have to tell you, when I was there, I had the best steak dinner I've ever had in my life, all right? Because one day we're driving along, we're all going along on the backs of chieftain tanks, and we're driving through the desert, and it's hot. We're trying to consume our 5 liters of water a day, which is what they were telling us to drink. And it was getting close to the sun going down. And when the sun goes down, the lights go out in the desert pretty much like that. And then the stars come out, and you have this incredible canopy that you just stare at. It's just extraordinary. But anyway, we came over the hill, over sand dunes, and down in a little bowl of land, surrounded by sand dunes, was a gathering of army trucks and Land Rovers and tanks and everything else. And smack bang in the middle of it was the kitchen. And these guys were serving mash and gravy and onion rings and peas and carrots and whopping big sirloin steaks in the middle of the desert, right? In the middle of the desert. And I sat down at a trestle table and had this most amazing dinner under the stars with all these guys tucking into steak and mash and all the rest of it, provided by the logistics corps. the logistics core. And you have to then, on reflection, question who had the most important job right at that time, right? The guys who were going to fight or the guys who were feeding the guys who were going to fight? You can think about that for yourself. Whilst I was eating my steak, I know who I was giving thanks to. After our Lord, I was thanking these logistics guys. Incredible. In the middle of absolutely nowhere, this appeared. First pop-up restaurant. All right. What are you prepared to do for God? You see, Stephen was an ordinary bloke who suddenly becomes the logistics king of the disciples and this growing and burgeoning church. And as the church grew, more and more bits of things were needed to be redone. So Stephen gets stuck into the logistics. And that could be, for you and me, any kind of job that is found in the church, which is why I'm asking what's the most important, because I would venture at different times in different ways. The job, the importance of the job changes and varies. But we all have a role to play. So what are you prepared to do for God? But there's a catch. Because Stephen gratefully signs up to be the logistics whiz of the disciples and the growing church. But that's not all he does. Because verse 8, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. So Stephen wasn't just the logistics king. Stephen was also a witness. He was a witness in the job that he was doing and that he had offered himself to God to do. But he was also a witness beyond the immediacy of the job. Which always, I think, in churches we forget that even though we sign up to do some jobs, we're also in the disciple business as well. We don't kind of get, well, you know, like I make the tea and the coffee and I do X, Y, and Z, and that's over to someone else to do something different. We're blessed. We have people doing the tea and the coffee, but they're also fundamentally disciples and witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's powerful. It's not just a job, it's life and living thereafter for Jesus and through Jesus. And here's Stephen, full of grace and power. The guy was first full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and now he's described as being full of grace and power, which we know comes from the Holy Spirit and has been given to him because he signed up willingly to do the job that needed to be done and he felt led to. He had an obedient heart, and he did it. What are you prepared to do? But the consequences then start to tumble for Stephen. Because as he preaches, he begins to annoy the rulers of the day. The gospel becomes offensive. The things that he's saying really irk those who are in charge. But if you look at verse 10, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. So the logistics guy, full of power and grace in the spirit, is now doing signs and wonders and preaching. And such is the force of his preaching that they cannot withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. I reckon there's many of us don't fully grasp that the jobs we do for Jesus Christ shine out of us in terms of not just the witness, but they confound the world by the very nature of the job or the way in which we behave, the things that we are prepared to do. What are you prepared to do? But for Stephen now, the consequences of accepting the role in the first place are beginning to pile up because they don't like what he's saying. He signed up to serve and distribute the food, and he ends up in front of the council, and they're not happy. They thought they had dealt with the Jesus problem. They thought they had dealt with Peter and John. But no, they're now stuck with another one, Stephen, whom they saw was only meant to be serving the food, but now is standing in front of the council because he's a threat to them. When you sign up for Jesus Christ, no matter what you do, you become dangerous. You become dangerous in a good way. For Stephen, the consequences were now piling up. So he's under arrest. And they're arresting him because they don't like what he's saying, because what he's saying offends the laws of Moses, to name one. Whereas we know Jesus Christ completed the law. They knew that because he'd said it in their hearing. But they weren't listening. They weren't listening at all. Yet, when he stands there, verse 15, and gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. The face of an angel. I have no idea what the face of an angel looks like. I can only assume that they looked at Stephen and saw something distinctly holy in the person of Jesus Christ, that was their description of him. He shone. Perhaps he was assured. Perhaps he was at peace. Perhaps his face reflected absolute contentment in the person of Jesus Christ. He'd signed up to serve the food, and here he was about to be judged. Yet he stood there with the face of an angel. There's then a big speech that he makes to the Sanhedrin. He makes this big speech where essentially he castigates them and he preaches Christ crucified, and he really does get stuck into them to the point that when he's finished, in verse 51 of chapter 7, he looks at them and says, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you." You stiff-necked people. And he's borrowing a phrase from the Old Testament. And stiff-necked doesn't mean they had a sore neck or lay on the wrong side all night and woke up with a stiff neck. It means obstinate. You obstinate people is what he's saying. Uncircumcised in heart and ears. Says, you've been circumcised, but you haven't been circumcised in the right way. You haven't been circumcised in your heart. You've heard nothing. You haven't been circumcised in your ears. It's meant nothing. You haven't been circumcised in your heart. You're so attached to the law. You're so dogmatic in what you think. You think you're so self-righteous. You've built yourself up, you've convinced yourself that you're right, that whatever you do is right, that everything's hunky-dory. You stiff-necked people, you obstinate people, you're uncircumcised in your heart and your ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. You are no different than anyone who's gone before you, who's resisted this gospel in the face of its power and its glory and its might and its majesty. You have resisted it. You have willfully set your face and obstinately rejected what you have been hearing. And so he accuses them, you stiff-necked people. Naturally, that didn't go down very well. All right, that did not go down very well. And when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. I'll take that as shorthand for them being furious. Then look at verse 55. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He got a glimpse. Full of the Holy Spirit, he got a glimpse. And have you picked up the theme as we've been working through the passages? He's full of the Holy Spirit and grace and power. When Jesus left us, he did not leave us empty-handed. He did not leave us alone. He did not leave us to thrash around in our own way, in our own energies, by our own means. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And that is what is energizing and informing and giving Stephen the words to speak and giving him the glow on his face and encouraging him to be bold and confident and content. That's what's going on here. That's what changes the guy who serves the food into this incredible missionary at this time, who stands in front of the highest court of the land and looks them in the eye and said, "You stiff-necked people. You've heard nothing, you know nothing, you believe nothing, you're wasted. You've heard this amazing gospel and it's meant nothing to you. You've turned your heart and your ears and your mind and everything else away from it in favor of stuff of the past. You haven't seen the new creation in Jesus Christ. You haven't heard, but worse, you willfully haven't heard." And that's where I'm lovingly and respectfully asking my second question. Are you in any way stiff-necked today? Is the Holy Spirit speaking into your life and calling you to come and do something, and you stand against it for whatever reason? I urge you to pray about it. Think about it. Talk to God about it. And come to Christ. And do what he's asking you to do. It will have its consequences, as Stephen has found out. From serving the food, to standing in front of the rulers, to telling them what he thinks of them under the authority of the Holy Spirit, to where he gets to now, where they take him out. Verse 57, "But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him." They'd had enough. "Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.'" Who does that sound like? Christ at the cross. It's not that Stephen, in his accusation, didn't have compassion. It was his love and compassion for them that drove him in a perhaps frustrated way to say, "You stiff-necked people, please, please, please get this. Because Christ died for you and he loves you and he wants to be with you. And I just had this incredible glimpse of him up there. Boy, you need to go and see him too." Stephen had love and compassion for everyone. And his accusation was drawn from that love in the power of the Spirit. That's what was empowering him, giving him this boldness. What are you prepared to do for Jesus? Are you even mildly stiff-necked this morning? Signing up for Christ is an adventure. It is a daily adventure of highs and lows, of amazing things and things that confound and disappoint, even anger and frustrate. Yet there is joy and beauty and power through the Holy Spirit. And we have this wonderful mission to be getting on with. And it requires everybody doing something and not even thinking about comparing it to what others are doing, But understanding that in the power of the Spirit, you might start here and end up there. That's the adventure. But you have to open your heart and open your ears and go for it. You won't be disappointed. Jesus Christ will be with us every step of the way. What are you prepared to do for Jesus today? And if you're mildly stiff-necked, then talk to God. Sort it out with Him. And if you want to come up for prayer afterwards, please do. If those questions are now hammering around in your heart and in your head, come up. Be prayed for afterwards. What are you prepared to do? Could start with a short walk to here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your beauty and your love, your compassion, your enduring hope, your patience with us, the joy that you get from us. Lord, open our hearts and our minds to the power of your Spirit, to the things that you want us to do. And give us feet that move towards you. Help every one of us to be a part of your mission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.